We're going to talk about the State of the Union address and other political topics now with our regular Friday commentators, E.G. Dionne and David Brooks. Welcome back.
Good to be here.
Let's start with this week's action in the House, the health care repeal, which passed as expected. Now that Republicans are in control, it's very unlikely to be brought up for a vote in the Senate. And so Republicans are moving on to their next strategy. And Republican Dave Camp put it this way: the tree is rotten, so you have to cut it down. If you can't do that all at once, you have to prune it branch by branch. E.J. Dionne, do you think that's a successful strategy to bit by bit dismantle the health care law, sort of death by a thousand cuts?
Well, I didn't think you cut down the tree before you prune it branch by branch. I think they made a big mistake here. They started on a negative. They just took apart a bill that was passed. They united the Democrats. That's about the hardest thing in the world to do. There are only three Democrats out of the 13 who voted against it originally who are still there who actually voted to repeal it. Democrats could talk about all the things in the bill that people actually like. And it by some measures, it really is increasing in popularity. So they allowed that the Democrats to fight a fight again that they had lost the first time, and they began on a negative, and they show no signs of having something to put in its place. So I don't think that was the ideal way for them to start, but I'm not a member of the Tea Party.
David Brooks, do you buy that maybe the health care bill is becoming more popular, and that the strategy from Democrats in the White House to use specific case examples of people who benefited from the law are working?
There's no evidence of that. If you look at the polling on the health care bill, there are some polls where it's split down the middle. I think most polls of the country is against it. Certainly Republican voters are against it. And there's certainly a large sense that the spending implied by the bill, the tax increases implied by the bill, the mandates implied by the bill, all that stuff pretty unpopular. The Republicans have to get some credibility with their people saying we will control the size of government. Within that, they're now in the middle of a much larger debate, not only about how to replace the bill, which is going to be ongoing, but secondly about how to cut. And there are sort of three camps. There's the freshman camp, if you want to put it that way, which really proposed a very specific and very painful series of cuts over the next year. Really quite tough cuts. Then there's the leadership, which is, I don't know about that. That's pretty kind of politically tough, but we'll do some cuts, but maybe not as much as you want. And then finally, to me, the right guy in this is Paul Ryan, who's going to be responding to the State of the Union, who says, we've got to do some cuts, yes, but we've also got to focus on entitlements. And he is opposed in that by both the leaders and the freshmen. But if you want to really control government, you got to take care of Medicare, Social Security. You got to at least begin talking about it.
So you think he's in the right? That may be a lonely place to be. E.J. Dionne, do you think Paul Ryan, who is the chair of the House Budget Committee now, Paul Ryan of Wisconsin, has a foothold here? Do you think anybody's listening to him?
First of all, in health care bill, I got to say the proportion of people who want to repeal the whole thing is a quarter or less in dropping. And that's why I think repealing the whole thing was a mistake. But in terms of, or trying to repeal the whole thing was a mistake. In terms of Paul Ryan, it is remarkable. A year or so ago, Ryan's blueprint was seen as so radical that most Republicans didn't want to endorse it for fear that it would hurt him in the election. Now, this new Republican Congress is in some sense to Ryan's right. Now, David has a point. It's an incoherent right because you really cannot cut the core of domestic spending outside the entitlements in the military. They've taken the military and Homeland Security completely off the books. You're going to start cutting into lots of government that most people support. Nonetheless, I think the Ryan is going to have trouble with this, that if you will, the Tea Party wing. And you're already seeing this tension between the leadership, Ryan and Speaker Boehner, and these conservatives are saying, no, we can find $100 billion. Good luck to them.
And the Republicans will be sort of throwing down a marker before the State of the Union on Tuesday with a symbolic vote on spending. Let's talk about the State of the Union address. And it does come at a moment when President Obama is seeing an upward swing in his approval ratings, a substantial jump in some polls. David, what will you be listening for on Tuesday night?
Well, he has had a swing. And that swing is among moderate Republicans. If you look at the polling, all the movement has come among people who were moderate Republicans, wanted to register a protest against the Democrats, but now are sort of uncertain.
And independents, too.
And independents as well. And to me, the crucial thing in the State of the Union is he's obviously going to talk about growth and competitiveness. But is it short-term or is it long-term? How much of the emphasis is on short-term, trying to create jobs before the next election? How much of it is laying down the fundamentals for growth over the next decades, including big tax reform, big infrastructure spending, big education reform, the things that won't bear fruit in the next 2 years, but will in the long term? That, to me, is the central tension that I don't believe the administration has quite settled.
EJ, State of the Union thoughts?
I think the debate is going to be, is Obama really moving to the right or the center, or is he about consolidation? I think the next 2 years are largely about consolidation because, wow, I would love more. You're going to have some talk about infrastructure because you're going to renew a transportation bill. That could be helpful. But he is not going to get any big new initiatives through. Now, I think the conservatives are going to do two things. They're going to say, actually, he's retreating, and then they're going to criticize him for not retreating fast enough. But my hunch is consolidation is a better way to look at it. In the speech we just heard, I think he's going to talk a lot about manufacturing because the old manufacturing states are hurting. They are critical to the next election. And I think that's going to be a central theme for the next couple of years.
State of the Union, not often where we turn for lofty rhetoric, felicitous turns of phrase. Is there any moment that you think that he might be able to craft out of this speech on Tuesday?
Well, you know, it is. We celebrated this week the 50th anniversary of John Kennedy's inauguration, one of the great inaugural speeches ever. And what struck me in listening to it again was how much hope there was in public endeavor. Together, let us explore the stars, conquer the deserts, eradicate disease, tap the ocean depths. It would be nice to have a little lift and confidence that we can accomplish things together again.
I'm against that.
Well, a friend of ours named Bill Galston compared that speech to Dwight Eisenhower's speech, which was occurred at the same time, his farewell speech. And that was about balance. It was about limits. Hey, we can't really conquer the deserts, eradicate disease, but we can try to make a little progress here and there. I'm more in favor of those speeches. So let's let Obama give a few little speeches saying, hey, we'll try to make the economic climate a little better. It's probably the best we can do, but it'd be, at least be realistic.
Think of the progress we made out of those promises. Deserts, not
much.
Vietnam, the rest we did.
Pigs. We had a lot of progress.
And it's a false choice. You can like both of those speeches, David.
A little uplift from EJ, a little pessimism from David. What a way to end.
Realism.
Thanks to you both. David Brooks of The New York Times and EJ Dionne of The Washington Post and Brookings Institution.
Thank you.
Thank you.